Hey, 4Play listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. 4Play, presented by Barstool Sports. We are live from Cherry Valley. We're in Frankie's neck of the woods. We are on Long Island. I actually drove by on the way here. Trent's course, where he broke 100 at Garden City Country Club.
Yep.
Garden City CC. I noticed that white clubhouse from all the pictures of you with the cigars, the fame, the moment. But we're live at the Barstool Classic. It's the last stop, 27th stop of the year. So we're just figured we'd whip it out and get going here on the putting green right by the first tee.
Yeah, it's always a scene here at the Barstool Classic. The first tee box. It's got a vibe and it's got a little, you know, it's got a little bit of nervous energy around here always. So I like being here. I like seeing people freak out and have anxiety and get nervous. This is like my moment. I feed off this stuff.
It is palpable out here.
Yeah.
That feeling. And people haven't really gotten, you know, liquored up yet.
Right.
It's early. It's like 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. So, yeah, and this first tee, for anybody that hasn't been here before, hasn't seen on social. So the first tee at Cherry Valley, very country club-esque, where the first tee and the putting green and everything are right here. So there's just a lot of action here. And then the hole is a drivable par 4. It's like 280 yards or something. And you can hit it at the green. You can miss a little left. If you miss it all right, you're just on that very busy road over there, probably paying for somebody's windshield and maybe their medical bills because the road is so in play. So it's a pretty intimidating first tee
shot. First time we played here, I put it on that road. Right out onto that road. How many times have you put it on that road? You played here a bunch.
But never off the tee. Always a bladed second shot over the green.
That's
oh,
amazing.
Yeah, you go left and then you go over the green?
Yep.
Yeah.
So I'll hit my driver or I'll hit like my 4-iron because it's a really short hole, 270. And I'll hit it to the left under the tree, and I'll always have like a punch shot. And you think your first shot of the day is going to be fucking Phil Mickelson-esque. You're going to like curve this ball over a bunker. And every single time I blade it right onto the road. So it's always a joke where it's like, yeah, you didn't hit it off the tee, but you know you're on the road.
Right.
So
I like these Orca things a lot. They're great. But okay. Do you guys ever think that it makes stuff taste a little metallic?
Is that a brand new one that you just got today?
Brand new, just opened it.
So that's why you got to put it in the wash a couple times.
Is that right?
Or you're going to run some hot water.
Came straight from the factory.
Yeah.
I'm drinking the factory right now.
Big time.
Right. All right.
Like well, that metal was literally finished and like put into a box and then they shipped it to you and you just are drinking out of it.
I panicked. I'm drinking a coffee. We don't do any free ads. So I poured it into this Orca thing. And again, the fact that I got a new one in Arizona. I've been using it a lot. You know, it's fucking hot as shit in Arizona, 100 degrees all the time.
Yeah.
You put ice in there before I go to a golf course, go out there and fill. 3 hours into it, there's just still ice in there.
It's
100 degrees.
So crazy.
So the technology's great. It's just a little metallic. That makes sense because I didn't clean it out.
Is that true with clothing, new clothes? I was wondering that the other day. I bought a couple new sweatshirts, and I was like, can I just wear these right now, or do I need to put it through the wash once?
I think like a germaphobe or someone would like want you, you know, someone that really cares about shit like that. Like the people that don't drink out of fucking Coke cans, they always wipe the top. Like,
well, I've also noticed too that if you wear a new sweatshirt without washing it, you take it off and there's all these little like fuzzies on you.
You want to talk about
it's new?
You want to talk about fucking fuzzies?
Sure.
This morning, I took a shower and used a fucking towel. That just like the whole towel ended up on me. Have you ever had this problem?
Yes.
It was like a soft towel. I was like horrified at what was happening. I couldn't. It was a black towel and I rubbed my body, my disgusting frail frame of a body.
Good
I
visual.
Rubbed it down and I looked and I went, holy shit, just fuzzies everywhere. I was dirtier.
Right.
Than I was before I got in the shower.
Did you re-shower?
Yup.
Had to.
You just went different towel?
Different towel. It was a nightmare.
I'll say that happens occasionally to my bald head because I'll shave my head in the shower
yeah.
a good amount of the time. And then when it comes out, it's like, you know, after you shave your face, it's real like sticky.
Yeah,
so I
stuff
know all
just
about shaving.
Sticks to my, sticks
it
to
also,
my head.
That also happens with a bald head and a new beanie. You put
yes.
a beanie on, you take it off, yes. and there's all these like these black fuzzies on your head.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Before we start, I want to say...
Well, we already started.
But. Well, before we get into whatever we're going to get into...
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. 27 stops. Congratulations. You've been to all of them. That's a fucking shit ton of travel, dude.
Myself and Zach right there, our social, we're the only two guys that have done all 27 stops.
I can't tell you how impressive that is.
It's a lot of stops, man. It's only 52 weeks in a year. Like, you've done
I'll say that. So Lisa Lidvack, who's our head of live events, who most people probably know at this point because we do so many live events at Barstool, from the chick shows to Frankie and Pup Punk are literally selling out, doing live music, to the Barstool Classic, to Chicklets, and all these different groups are always doing live shows. So she's around a lot. But she, essentially the first year I planned mostly everything because it was like my baby and we were just getting off. We were way smaller. And then last year it was a little bit more of a mix. And then this year she pretty much planned on the logistics front the entire thing. And she did a great job of like planning it strategically where she front loaded a lot of it when we were all excited, right? Because it's like you got from now until mid-March or whatever, we don't do any.
Right.
And then the hype starts to get going. People are emailing us, DMing us. They're fired up. So we got a lot of like energy for it. And we kind of like front load. And then by the time you get really sick of that, in July we had like none. Like July, we only had one or something. So yeah, we got a little bit of a break. But there were times. I mean, there are a few different people on the staff that I sent like sorry gifts to after the Minnesota stop because I just ran out of gas and I was just being an asshole. Because you're just on a fucking plane nonstop. And I think that was like the week after too, we had gone to my buddy's trip to Air Hill. So it was like my way of decompressing after how much travel we've been doing was to fucking just rage and drink transfusions nonstop for 4 or 5 days straight.
Yeah.
And then had to like take a red eye and go to like Minnesota and do the stop all day. So there were a few like times where you're like 27 is just too many. But overall, we got through it. This last one was supposed to be a month ago, but obviously the hurricane came through. It was supposed to be a couple months ago. So we rescheduled this. But yeah, this is the final. This is the 27th stop. Overall, I think things went incredibly well for the Barstool Classic. We had St. Louis one got postponed a week because of rain. And then the Long Island one, which we're at now, obviously got postponed.
Perfect
a few
weather,
months.
So
now it's perfect. So overall, 27 stops. You only had like two major issues, and they weren't even that big. You just had to kind of reschedule them. So yeah, it's quite the feat. And we're just going to run it again next year.
That's just so much travel. Like I've been doing those chick shows, and we did Boston, Philly, and then we were in Nashville last week. That's like not crazy travel, and I'm in and out for like one day. And even still, like this weekend, like last night, I slept for 9 hours because I've just been exhausted, and I didn't even really do anything. Like I don't, when we go to these places, I don't go out, I don't go crazy, I pretty much just go back to the hotel and eat Taco Bell. But I still, like, just the physical act of like getting on a plane or getting on a train and going through security, it's like it's a lot. And then I think about how much travel you've done for the Barstool Classic, and I'm surprised you're still alive is what I'm saying.
Thank you, Trent, I appreciate that. What I would say is travel, like, A, you do get used to it, and B, you're right in that you are, even though you're not really doing anything, you're just traveling, you're checking a lot of boxes throughout the day. There's just things you have to do. Like, you have to pack. You have to, like, order the Uber. Then you have to get into the Uber, arrive at the place. Then you have to check in. Then you have to, like, get through security. And then you have to, like, be there 30 minutes before and, like, report for duty. And then you have to, like, get single file and, like, get on the plane. And then you have to, like, store your luggage. And it's all, like, you're checking these boxes throughout
the
day.
And the human body just is not used to flying 30,000 feet in the air a bunch of times a month. Like, that's going to take a toll on your body no matter what.
I can't tell you. So I wear this watch my buddy's got me a couple years ago as a gift. And everywhere I go, it's in the wrong time zone.
Right.
Because it doesn't. I'm like, they need to. Somehow this watch needs to set itself based on the time zone. I don't think it can do that.
I don't know if any watch can do that.
It's not a phone.
Also, Nashville, sneaky in the central time zone.
That is sneaky.
Really sneaky.
You know what's a
Indiana sneaky? Being in the eastern time zone.
Dude,
really,
I was just saying, I think Detroit, isn't Detroit eastern time zone?
I think so.
In Detroit,
wait, you were further east than I was when you were in Bloomington and I was in Nashville? So you're, yeah, that fucks my head.
There's one time.
There's some weird ones out there.
I was on a bachelor party in Fort Lauderdale, and a bunch of guys were flying out. We were going back to New York, and then half the group was going to Toronto. And the flight from Fort Lauderdale to Toronto was like 2 hours and 51 minutes or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Whatever it is. And then the flight to Toronto was 2 hours and 46 minutes. I said, now how is that physically possible? And they were like acting like I was an idiot. I'm like, Toronto is far and away more north than New York City. Isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I just don't get how
certainly
that
has to be at least a little bit more north.
They were acting like, no, it's, they're like, when you're flying the different paths, I'm like, no, it's a straight shot up the East Coast. You go from Fort Lauderdale to New York, it has to be faster, but it's not. Look it up. The flight is definitely faster to Toronto. We looked
from
up
Fort
like,
Lauderdale?
Yeah, we looked up like many flights to make sure that it was correct, and they all said that they were faster.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me.
There's some weird ones. I'm looking right now because, you know, you get hit with these trivia questions sometimes. I'm trying to remember which ones they are now, but like the entire islands of the United Kingdom are more north than the state of Maine.
Yeah, see, that's
like,
my brain.
Don't you think of them as being like almost on the same, like New York and, right. and like London and everything feel like they're on the same.
They're like level.
Latitude, I guess that would be. But like, they're just not. Like, look how much higher. I mean, I can't really show you guys.
I
right
can
now.
See it. I saw it.
Look how much higher the UK is over here. So the entire United Kingdom, I'm looking, is more north than the northern tip of Maine.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't think of that.
Look at that.
So how like is it not always cold? How is it not always like cold over there?
That's what I mean. I guess ocean currents and weird shit like that. What, are we gonna get a geologist on here now?
I don't know.
What's up, Doc?
Anyone here at the Classic that knows anything about geography?
So I put. I've been logging my flights for the whole year.
Oh yeah, that'll be an interesting number.
The flight that I took from St. Louis, I was in St. Louis for my nephew Robbie's 5th birthday party.
Happy birthday.
It was Godzilla themed party. I had to bring a Godzilla toy. I weren't admitted to the party. thank you. My flight from St. Louis to here was my 74th flight of the year.
Bro, that's just a lot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
More than the average person.
But then again, like Lurch flies a lot. So people, certain jobs, you have to fly a shit ton.
Yeah,
clearly.
True. Maybe I'm thinking of just our job in particular. And a lot of people do travel, especially lately. But like, yeah, I guess the business people generally probably travel a ton.
Yeah, they go to meetings and shit. You know, so they fly a lot. So it just kind of, and I would say too, you know, ours is like we fly and then we come out and we do stuff like this all day. Which like.
It's fun.
Works work, but like we're outside. It's beautiful. Everyone here is having one of their best days of the year. So it's great. All in all, it's great.
I flew all over the fucking country this last week.
Let's talk about it, Rockstar.
It was super easy because we were on like the Penn plane. It was nuts. And so you take your shoes off. And
that thing looks nice.
You get to fly in to all these little towns, just get right out. Like we flew right to Bloomington. It was insane.
I mean, that thing is a jet.
It's a jet.
That's a
Dave
legit.
Took a video of you guys. I think you were leaving Denver and going to Bloomington. The scene looked crazy.
With the mountains behind
yes.
us? Yeah.
It looked like it was straight out of Almost Famous. Looked like Almost Famous. That's exactly what it looked like.
It was funny, too, because like after, and I mean, we don't have to talk about it too much, but like after the first show in Denver, we were like on a high. Obviously, you play like a rock show. It's a fucking
I can't even
simulation.
Imagine.
And... Dave was like surprised, I think, at how well it went and like how we actually like, can play music. It was the first time he's ever really seen us play because he's been to a Pup Punk, but he usually like would leave right after like he'd announce or he'd
I
do
could
something.
Tell that he was into it because he was posting about it a lot.
Oh, dude, he was singing like I'd never.
That's
really,
great.
You know, like he like we were playing songs that he liked and he had a great time. But it was a funny moment where it was
singing.
Like, I'm like, this is fucking awesome, isn't it? To him, and he's like, well, yeah. Not many fucking bands like. Fly private jets and stay at the Ritz and like you know what I mean. He's like, you guys are like a like the stuff that you guys are being able to do right now is insane. And it was so true. Like most bands are absolutely grinding. It's not that
get on the
fun.
Bus
you get on the bus you play
overnight.
Six shows a week.
You guys might be the only band in the world that has both ends where you are like a small dive bar band
right
that lives like
and we were trying to do like
a Billboard top 10.
I don't know. I think it may be 10 bands in the world that get to fly on huge jet planes
right.
and stay at the Ritz when they play shows. Like, it's like even fucking Dan and Shay, like, they were on their tour bus. Like, you know what I mean? Like, all these guys are on buses. Like,
right.
how many people are flying
it's
in
like
and
like you and the Rolling Stones.
right. Like, it was so funny. Like, so, you know,
I mean,
I don't take that shit for granted at all. Like,
just
when
from
he
the
was,
clips, the shows looked incredible. You guys were having a good time. I'm sure we'll talk about the elbow, but. That is a really, like, obviously, we've been doing these Chicks in the Office shows, and that feels like a simulation. But then you going out there, you, Frank, or you, PFT, Roan, and Robbie, actually putting on a rock show in front of screaming fans.
See these guys' fucking shirts over here?
Yeah, those are outrageous shirts.
What do they say on them?
Dude, turn around. Let me see that shirt.
Show us that shirt. You wouldn't believe this shirt.
Oh, nice. I'm starting to get excited. Yeah.
Have fun. I mean, he's got a scantily clad woman.
Straddling a golf ball
on the front of his shirt is the artwork on the shirt.
Really big too, not like a small logo.
Very in your face,
huge.
Yeah, right here, have a good time.
Yeah, the clips were just very cool.
Yeah,
it looks like you guys had a good time.
Like after seeing those clips, do you know why we got so stressed about possibly missing them?
Totally.
Like, I got so many tweets being like, "It's just a fucking show. Like there'll be other ones." It's like, man. It's a simulation. You become a rock star. I don't give a fuck what we sound like. I don't care how stupid you might think it is. We are putting on shows for sold out fucking venues. And we are playing rock shows for an hour. We play a 17, 18 song set list. It's fun shit, man.
And you
I'll
can't
never
risk
get over
Wally Pipp. I mean, you got
no, and either. I'll never
you Wally
ever take
the last guy.
Right, correct. I can't get re Wally Pipp.
Right, that's not how that goes, dude. The video that Chef Donnie took of you singing behind the kit. That's I don't even that you turn into a different person when you're behind there.
I was nervous
singing
about that.
And drumming.
Yeah, that was fun. It's really hard for me to keep the beat going and sing at the same time, but I somehow like dude, we thought about singing Wagon Wheel on the plane out to Indiana because the first night in Denver I sang Rocky Mountain Way by Joe Walsh and we couldn't do that in Indiana. Like we were trying to think of songs and then we couldn't think of a song for Indiana. So I was just like, oh, yeah, let's just sing Wagon Wheel. That always gets the people going. So I was trying to remember the lyrics. It's actually not that easy to remember fucking lyrics, even though Wagon Wheel is an all-time singable song. There's a lot of lyrics in there that you just, like, don't remember.
Yeah, you just kind of go,
Dude, like...
Right, there's no pressure when I'm in my like, car walking down the street in New York.
Totally.
So, yeah, I want, like, this like rock this one...
Running
from the cold up in New England, I was born to be a fiddler in an old-time swing band. My baby plays a guitar, pick a banjo now. Like, dude, to try and remember that shit while playing the drums, while looking at 2,000 people, you're like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
So I messed up the words a little bit. At the end, I was like, I don't fucking know the words to the song Rock Me. Mama.
But they
like,
still went crazy.
They didn't give a fuck. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, they're just there for a show. They're not there to
But it went well. It went well.
How's the elbow?
It feels surprisingly good. It's definitely numb. It's definitely still irritated. I'm nervous that I'm just not rehabbing it. I'm not rehabbing. I'm not letting it rest at all, which is very evident. I mean, the videos are all on Twitter.
You're just
not
slamming that drum.
Slamming the drums. Going
yeah,
as
I mean,
hard
if you
possible.
Had the definition of rest, you're doing
the exact opposite. So, yeah. Like, the problem is that I feel like I'm getting through the days fine. It's just like, am I doing permanent nerve damage? Like, so I have a meeting with my doctor next week. We'll see what the assessment is. I'm going to ask him for some tests, some MRIs and stuff, see where we're at. I'm going to start taking it seriously because I want to be able to fucking golf.
To rest. Like, cease work or movement in order to relax, refresh oneself, or recover strength.
You've been doing that?
No.
Okay.
Right. I've been really good with icing it, though. I will say that.
Ooh, all right. So that's
like,
not positive.
No. I've been like psychotically good with icing. So I have this like sleeve that you put in the freezer and it goes over your elbow and it's
like compression sleeve?
Yeah, yeah, but it's cold. It's the perfect like icing of the elbow because usually if you put like real ice on there, like whatever, like it's only on one spot. But this thing like cools the whole arm, and I have that thing cold 24/7. Like this morning driving here, I had it on, and then like at the fucking concert, I had them. I was like, hey, this is gonna sound really weird, but can you take this sleeve and put it in the freezer, like to like the workers? And so like they were bringing it back out to me after every song.
Yeah,
you're
a rock star. You get weird requests.
Yeah. So I am icing it. So I'm definitely taking like the inflammation down, which I think would be a major problem if I wasn't doing that. Because I'm like running it up. Like the surgically repaired arm is not fucking getting iced. So I'm doing that. But the nerve is fucked.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
People are going to be like, is there a flood every time my fucking pants hike up?
What?
So my fucking pants were up like over my shins. And everyone's always like, is there a flood?
Oh.
You're a big sock guy. We're working on the sock game.
Dude, our socks are going to be coming out for,
oh my God.
For Christmas time for Black Friday. Dude, did you get a pair?
No, I just saw the pair on your
desk. I wore them all week. I wore them during the shows. They are so comfortable. They're like running socks. Like they're like, you know what I mean? Like they're so comfy. They're not just like.
You ever feel like you got it together more when you wear a cool pair of socks?
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. I've done that the last couple of years, and even when my life is a complete and total mess, I look down and I'm like, all right. At least we put those on this
totally.
Morning.
It's like you put socks on. There's a little bit of thought behind it. You were a little bit organized. You're showing a little bit of your personality, a little bit of flair. It's like you're kind of bringing a lot to the table.
Yes.
Even if you're really not bringing much to the table.
Right.
We said we were going to hit Christmas hard this year, and boy, are we hitting Christmas hard. And like this, when we said we're hitting Christmas hard, it's not to like try and sell merch, even though we're going to sell merch and like all these things. We really do want to have the spirit of Christmas inside of us. It's not just like let's drum up some Christmas fucking shit, and then people are going to get all swept up in it and buy a sock.
Speaking of having the Christmas spirit inside of you, have I told you guys about the the deer with Christmas lights on them in my parents' front yard that the local neighborhood riffraff would come through and put them fucking each other every night. My mom would have to go out and fix them up.
No, you never told us about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, man. My, you know, we're really into Christmas. I think that's probably how we got on this topic originally a couple months ago. But, no, you know, way. My mom would put out these, I think it was a couple reindeer, and they got lights and shit, white lights, you know, reindeer with lights on them. And, like, almost every day, like, the neighborhood, who knows who it was, just neighborhood fucking teenagers would come through and they'd just be fucking each other in different positions.
You should have, to one-up them, you should have made them 69 one night. And then they show up, they're like, oh, they already did it.
Yeah.
And then they head out.
Maybe she did. I think my mom kind of, she thought it was funny every morning. So she'd go out there and be like, oh, now they're doing it this way. Oh, you know, it was always,
those are the same kids that'll be smashing pumpkins in a couple weeks.
Totally, yeah. That's just, you know.
But we do have some fucking great socks coming out, man. It's like, there was one that said ho, ho, hole in one. So good.
I really like just like the red and white ones.
The red and white one was really good where it's just, it almost looks like Christmas trees, but there were carts that had a Christmas tree on top of it, which yep. I really like that design, a golf cart holding the Christmas tree. And the Santa stuff we have coming out, sick. So keep an eye out for the ugly sweaters that we got coming out. The Santa one is maybe my favorite thing I've ever seen. Wait until you see this.
I don't think I've seen it. No.
Oh, my God.
I don't think I see it. All right.
Trent, you continue to be a heartthrob. You're in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah. I got into the spirit. I bought a guitar shirt and a hat and a cowboy hat.
How much did that run you?
All told, those two things together, $200.
Yeah.
More expensive than I thought. I would have bought boots, but boots are way more expensive than you think.
They're up there.
They're like the cheapest pair I saw in the store that we went to was $500.
What?
Swear to God. Most expensive, like $2,100.
So you went to an expensive boot store.
I don't know, man.
Like, boots?
Yeah.
My boy Kyle from college, he was one of our goalies in college. So goalies are always a little bit different. And he was one of my direct roommates.
E-Bug's
a goalie,
right,
so he's right over there. I mean, that's right? Goalies are just fucking weirdos. Everybody knows that. So Kyle's a great guy, though. But he's from Calgary, and Calgary's got the Calgary Stampede. It's got some good roots in like kind of country fashion and stuff. And he wore boots to all legitimate occasions. Like anytime there was like a suit and tie or something like that, and even for like games and stuff, he would rock like nice boots.
Interesting.
And you learn that boots are no joke.
Yeah.
Like no joke. So if it was something that would be like would be a dance or like a date thing or whatever, he would always rock like nice jeans and boots and then like a sport coat or something. That was his fucking move.
And I think the idea is that they last you forever. Like if you buy a pair of boots for $1,500, those are going to last you until you're dead. So I guess that's part of it. But I did not splurge on the boots. I just bought a hat and a guitar shirt. And Nashville's great, man. It's we had a really good time. Caitlin Bristow and Jason Tartick came out. They were great on the show. And then I went out for maybe 45 minutes in Nashville after the show, and I went home. That place is too much. If I was 25, it'd be the greatest place on the planet. But I'm not 25 anymore, and it's just a lot. It's like Vegas, but on the other side of the country.
What's a lot about it? Like, just every bar packed?
Every bar packed, live music, the streets packed. You're on that Broadway, which is the main strip where all the bars are.
A little grimy, I would say. Like, fun grimy, but it's
very
grimy.
Very fun. It's very much, it's very Vegas-esque in that it's a little grimy. There's people everywhere. It's really loud. Every place is packed. But, like, if you ever want to go to Nashville, it's going to be everything you want it to be. I'm just, like, a little too old now where I just sort of I took off early and went to bed and ate Taco Bell, like I said. But it's a great town.
It's a dream night for you.
It was.
Show up, your heart throb, you got your cool cowboy hat on, and then you go eat Taco Bell and go to sleep.
And I just get out of there.
It's a 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10 for me. The rest of the crew that was there, they stayed out for a little bit longer, and they had a blast.
How's your pop doing these days? Still the same? Like your Trent pop heartthrob?
Still pretty good.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter about, there's no surprise factor anymore. They just know you're coming. They're screaming anyway. Are they still doing the video?
Yeah. Noah, producer Noah, it's a bit of a different video. It's to Notorious B.I.G.'s Big Papa now.
Okay.
So that plays when I come out. But yeah, the pop is pretty much the same.
It's amazing.
What a golf.
I gotta go up there. We got a little bit. We got a pop, and I had to go up there and play an hour fucking rock show and learn all these songs and fucking ruin my nerve damage forever. And you just go up there and you just hold a fucking piece of luggage, and these girls are throwing bras at you. It's just super easy.
How about the pumpkin? I saw the pumpkin.
Oh yeah!
When someone carves a pumpkin of you,
they carved a pumpkin of you.
You're trending.
Did you see that?
You're in good.
I'll show it to you right now. It's someone carved a pumpkin of the luggage guy logo, and
it looks
great. It looks even better than I thought it would look. Hold on, I'm pulling it up.
Perfect.
Right now.
I mean, it's
holy shit, dude. That is fucking insane.
It's a good pumpkin carve.
It's a really good pumpkin.
You guys ever tried to really like carve pumpkin, like something cool?
They made me round?
They made you a little round.
I was thinking it looks... Yeah, but I am also like a little round. Shout out to, looks like Morgan. Morgan carved that pumpkin. Yeah, that was a surreal moment in a long line of surreal moments lately. Like you said, quite a golf podcast.
We got one guy's in fucking Turkey slinging virtual reality stuff. We got one guy's ripping his elbow in pieces because he's playing the drums in Denver and then taking a legitimate jet, almost like a 747 private, to Indiana. I'm running these classics all over the country.
He took 80 flights this year.
What the hell's going on here?
I don't know.
Trent's just a heartthrob. He's getting pumpkins carved out of him. He just bowls a bag of luggage. Do you have any stage, almost fall off the stage issues this time, or no? You're good?
No, this time around it was pretty straightforward, and there were stairs on the side that I went up, so there was no risk of me falling, which was nice.
Ah, stairs.
Stairs.
Who would have thought?
They're imagine being another golf podcast trying to compete with us and like not understanding why people listen to us. We don't like think about all the things we just talked about. Not one of the things really included golf at all.
No.
And we just, like, these other guys are grinding away at, like, the sport of golf and, like, all these other podcasts. And, like, you're up there fucking holding a piece of luggage. Like you're saying, it's just insane. The fact that
they'll be like, I can't believe people listen to their analysis of golf.
I'm
like,
right. Oh. And Dave put up an awesome picture of Robbie Fox on stage on his Insta story, I think it was. And he said, the only five-tool company on the planet. And he's right.
Yep.
We're a five-tool podcast, too.
There's really,
I think that's right.
There's just no company quite like it.
Nope.
At all. There is.
You know, it makes competition angry. Where they're like, I'd love to fucking go up there and drag luggage around and get people to throw bras at me, but I got to sit here and break down golf swings for a living.
And I'm telling you, Gary Williams asked me on his show a couple weeks ago, and I said, who's your guys' like direct competition? I said, nobody. And that doesn't mean we're better or worse than anybody else. That just means
no one.
Who the fuck does this shit? Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
What are we talking about? What does this show do? It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense.
It's crazy. It really is.
Doesn't add up, but it is what it is. So I got a new golf game
okay.
that I learned. So when I was in Kansas last week with Kevin and Brandon, which I discussed, great time. Matt Ginello was there. His guy Colt, we had a great time. But these guys do a game called Par Points.
Okay.
PP, a cool little PP logo. They gave me a hat. Not PP like a wiener, but P like two, the letter PP.
Or Pat Perez.
Pat Perez, another PP. So here's how it works.
Peter Pan.
Peter Piper.
Peter Parker. You going to contribute a PP?
Peppermint Patty.
Okay. That was a good one. Paul Pierce.
Keep going.
Pepperoni pizza.
Fuck. I got to go.
Park Place. Monopoly.
Fuck.
Was that one of the last ones? The blue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pink pussy.
All right. So.
Yeah, the game's over.
Sorry.
So.
Oh, Pink Panther.
All right. Dude, you were good on this too when we were playing the college, where they went to college game. With
oh,
the
yeah.
NBA. You were killing
it. Where
that.
I went to college and jersey numbers. My brother and I
jersey
used to play
numbers,
that
you
all
were,
the time.
Yeah,
dude,
yeah.
You were really good at that.
I'm telling you, my brother and I, good. That's all we used to do when we'd be sitting at the bar when we'd be waiting for a game to come on. Anyway, new game.
Before the Rumpelman shots came out?
Hold new on. Game, PP. Let's hear it.
Par points. So here's how it works. Very simple. On any hole, you get to pick yourself where you play from, and you have to hold to the par of that hole, and then if you make par, you get the number of points that the yardage was. So if you show up to a par four, and the hole's 400 yards, and you play it from 400 yards, and you get a par, you get 400 points.
Okay.
Now, you can roll up to that same hole, and you can be like, eh, I'm actually going to play it from 250 yards. Par four, but if you get par, if you make par, you only get 250 points.
Right.
And then you just add up your points at the end. Once you are a bogey or worse, you just pick up. Doesn't matter. Nobody gives a shit. It's out. Birdie doubles it. So you could try to get strategic on a 350-yard par four. You could be like, I'm going to play it from 220 because I got a good club for that. Make birdie, and all of a sudden you would get 440 points.
Wow.
So you're just everywhere in this game, though.
You can be everywhere. Now, generally, like, when we played it, we had a couple other matches going on, so we mostly just played the tees that were the tee markers, 6,700 yards, whatever the hell it was. But on holes, guys being, no, I'm going to actually play from here. You go out in the middle of the fucking fairway if you want and play it from 130 50 yards, and if it's a par four, it stays a par four. So you're playing a par four from 150 yards. But if you make, you know, birdie, which would be a three there, you only get 300 points versus you could have played the hole from 400 yards. If you would have made par, you would have made,
what,
you know what I'm saying?
What, yeah, if you make eagle?
It triples.
Triples.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you could, yeah.
And you just add up par point, and then you could do whatever you want. You could do like, you know, you could throw in 10 bucks a guy, winner take all. You could do like, they were saying you do like 10 cents a point. Like, you can do all kinds of different stuff, and you run the math and see where you're going to end up. But it's very fun, totally new way to play golf.
It becomes not like a traditional round of golf, clearly, but it sounds really fun. Really fun.
It was incredibly enjoyable. Par points. I believe they have an app, and you can download it. It does everything for you. So it keeps all the points. It keeps like the leaderboard, and it does. I believe they have the app, or they have a website, because they're running this kind of as their own thing. But it was awesome. It was honestly a really fun game.
Can you go backwards?
No, okay. I don't think you can lose any points. And the way they started,
but I didn't phrase that question correctly. Like, if it's a 400-yard hole, can you go back to 450 yards?
I think so.
Okay,
I think you can go wherever the fuck you want,
anywhere you want.
And the way they got this started, it was for their kids. They're like, we're trying to come up with interesting ways to get our kids more engaged. And the par points is great because then it's a little bit more like child friendly to pick random tees, right? And have it be less regimented.
Right.
And more like, yeah, play from 75 yards. And then all they care about is par. If they make bogey, they're like, we don't care. They pick up and they just walk away.
I like it.
It's very fun.
I think that's a great game. Par points.
And then again, if you're playing with people and you're trying to gamble or whatever, you get to figure out the dollar value, or you can just do like every 1,000 point difference is maybe worth this, and you play. There's different ways you can structure it, but it's just super fun and completely unique way to really play around a golf with just like throwing tees down and, right, and pegging it from wherever the hell you want.
Did you win?
I lost. No. I actually had so we were doing, you had to pay everybody out that finished above you, and we had five of us. And I parred 17 to get ahead of Janella. I'd been trailing him all day. And then on 18, I three putted from like 25, 30 feet.
Damn.
To blow it. And I finished third. So I ended up losing, which is tough.
That's fun.
That was where our dude Kevin made four birdies in a row to close out. So he dominated the par.
Yeah.
Game.
Oh, I'm sure.
Won by a million.
Huh. Trent.
Yes, sir.
DeMarcus Ware.
Number. 94.
Ed Reed.
20.
Tony Gonzalez.
88?
Yep.
Okay.
He's so good at this game.
Psychotic.
Dude, it's wild how good you are.
Fucking psychotic. I mean, I think a lot of people claim to be really good at that.
Yeah.
I think you're actually really good at that. You know what I mean? Dante Culpepper.
11.
I mean, should I just go down the list? This doesn't even have the numbers. I'm just like believing it.
I want to make sure Dante Culpepper's 11.
He is. I'm looking at, not like looking it up, but I.
That might be wrong.
Really?
Nope, he's 11.
Culpepper's in St. Charles, Missouri. Really good wings. Ooh. Restaurant.
Curtis Martin.
28. For the.
Yeah.
For the Jets?
Yeah, he's 28.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I want to end on the run right there. I feel like we're in a good spot with me.
5 for 5 right there?
Yeah.
6 for 6, maybe?
Can I give you one more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hit him. Hit him with a weird one.
Corey Dillon.
Oh, this one I'm not 100% on, but I think he is 21.
Nope.
Yeah.
28.
Yeah, see, I'm not as familiar with him.
What is your process there when you don't know right away? What are you going through?
I picture Corey Dillon in a Cincinnati Bengals jersey, and I just roll through the 20s and just see which one fits in my brain. Like, I picture him with a 20, I picture him with a 21, I picture him with a 22.
Okay, wow.
So it's more of a visual thing as opposed to, like, you're envisioning him in the jersey.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, looking at, like, a stat sheet.
No, it's definitely in the jersey.
Yeah.
Dang, I wish I would have got Corey Dillon. I was on such a run.
I know, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
I'm so mad I didn't get Corey Dillon's number. I've been thinking about that nonstop since we...
28. You said 21?
I said 21. Fuck.
Another thing I saw, we're going to get to Hideki winning in Japan, which nobody saw because it was at midnight. It feels like they were actually playing golf.
Correct.
But I saw a tweet from, I think, Golf Digest that was like, what's your driving range routine? Do you guys have any driving range routine?
I start with a 7-iron.
For any particular reason?
I like that club a lot. Feels like the easiest entry point for me in terms of golf. Feel like okay. I'll probably, there's a decent chance I'll hit it well enough that I'll be happy about it. I don't want to start with a 4-iron because I can't hit that well at all, and then I'm going to be mad as soon as I get there. So I need something to ease me into it. But after that, it's kind of whatever I want to do.
I start with a seven iron as well, but then I sometimes I'll like look around and I'll say, like, what are you doing? Like, you got to start with a wedge. You know what I mean? Like, get a feel for the thing first. Let's get the feel down. Let's not get some big swings. You're going to pull a fucking hamstring or something swinging. Like, you got to, like, ease into the swing, I think.
Well, I do stretch before I get up there.
Yeah.
You got to stretch out a little bit. Get the muscles warm.
Plus, like, when we watch...
A little. I just kind of throw my body back and forth. Throw my arms around.
Yeah.
Nothing planned.
I change my routine after we watch professional golfers warm up. Like, whenever we're at, like, an event and then we come home and golf, like, I'll always take little tidbits of what I saw at the tournaments, and like they all just slowly progress through their bag, but yep. They definitely start with like those soft floppy wedges.
Oh, they don't just walk up and start pounding drivers?
No, be like, definitely all right, boys,
let's hit it.
There's no better look than when like Tiger Woods is out there and doing those little chips and then
silky
talking
wedges,
to,
right,
talking
right.
to Joe LaCava, turning around, you know what I mean? He's like super
knocking
super,
down flag oh. sticks with these little 50-yard pitches,
and you know in like 20 minutes you're gonna see him roast driver.
Yeah.
Do you have a routine?
Largely based on what Frankie was just saying of, like, us having access at tournaments and watching players warm up. It's Tiger Woods. I just basically have seen Tiger Woods show up to a range and watch his entire range session.
And
so
he
I just
tries to hit the 9 windows.
See, I'm not doing
You're not doing the windows? The windows are outrageous.
I mean, windows, what are we
when
doing?
When you watch
windows?
Him do that with every club, he can hit all 9 windows with every club.
Can we do 9 garage doors or 9 barns, like window? I can't hit it through.
It's crazy to watch.
No, I go up there and, you know, I do try to start with like a wedge and get into it, but I get antsy. It's like I just want to hit driver. And I've also thought about before just starting with one driver before you go to anything else, because in reality that's the tee shot you're about to hit. Like,
yeah,
you know, stand on the tee and hit a 50-yard wedge. Like, the first swing of the day is going to be a driver. So I really like to kind of try to simulate that to some degree. Like, I understand you could progress to that, but I usually like to just be like, all right, let's act like it's the first tee. We didn't get to do a range session. Let's just see how that would have gone.
Yeah.
And let's kind of work backwards from there.
I'll tell you what, I might stop going to the range before a round.
Whoa.
Because, and Bug and I were talking about this the other day, when we played Sheep Ranch,
yep.
I didn't go to the range, and I played the best front nine of my life. People will see that when it comes out on the Travel Series, but I played as well as I have ever played in my life during that 9-hole stretch, and I ended up having a great round overall, but that first 9 holes in particular, I played so well, and that day, I was busy right up until the tee time, so I rushed over there right at the last second, put the tee in the ground, and went off, and I played the best golf of my life.
What do you think you were so busy with?
I was watching The Bachelor. Oh, you remember
right.
that?
That's right, yeah.
I was watching The Bachelor. Right. We had gotten a screener,
uh-huh.
and I wrote tweets, and then
you watched The Bachelor on your laptop at breakfast at Banda Dunes.
At Banda Dunes, yeah, because
I totally forgot.
And
about
I wrote tweets, and then I gave them to a person who had access to my Twitter account, and they tweeted them out for me that night.
You don't become a heartthrob by accident,
right? It's a grind.
This is a grind.
Can't believe you just gave people a peek behind the curtain there.
Well, it's part of the story.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't, you know, I will never name the person who has access to my
yeah.
Twitter account, because
yeah,
no, that no. was a weird thing in general. I'd never given anyone the password to my Twitter account, which I think I've talked about before. I love more than anything else.
Yep.
Any of the stuff we do, it's fun, podcast, video, Instagram. Instagram sucks, but all the podcasts and videos, it's fun, but Twitter is the most fun to me.
You've said before, like, if my Twitter account got deleted, you would just go back to Iowa and just disappear.
I remember we were out at the U.S. Open out at Shinnecock, and Twitter was cracking down on DMCAs of old music in tweets.
That's right.
And they were just suspending Twitter accounts outright. If you got 3 strikes, boom, your Twitter account was done. And I was like, if that happens to my Twitter account, I will just move back to Iowa and become a security guard again. Like, if I lose all of the work that I've done on this Twitter account because of some stupid music that I put in a tweet 4 years ago, I'm out of here.
You love Twitter.
I love Twitter. It's the platform that I understand the most. Instagram, look at this face, look at this body. It's just not.
We're not Instagram guys.
I'm not an Instagram guy. I have no idea what to do on that app unless someone carves a pumpkin out of the Luggage Guy logo. But outside of that, I don't know what I'm doing. Twitter is what I understand. So I gave my Twitter account over to someone I trust very much to live tweet the Bachelor tweets that I had written earlier in the day. Long story short, I did not go to the driving range because of that. And I played one of the better rounds of my life.
I'm an Instagram story guy. But the regular posts, I don't know what to post.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a picture with somebody cool or something really funny. Yeah. What do you post?
Right. Instagram stories are easier because they're more throwaway.
Yeah, right.
The posts, because of the Instagram story, the posts have become even more like, this has got to be a big deal for you to post it.
Huge.
Like breaking 100, I post.
But then I'm like, you can't really grow unless you post, I feel like. You're really like posting like main Instagram posts a lot. So I've been trying to throw more up. But then I'm just posting random like pictures and shit. I don't know what to post. I don't know.
You, Frankie, used to post when you would have a picture with a famous person doing a pizza review, which was a great racket for a while.
Famous Frankie Fridays.
Right. You would just, Dave would have these famous extremely famous people on for the pizza review. You would take a picture with them afterwards. I'm sure that backup sounds good.
There was a stretch that it just got so random and incredible. It was like, it would go from Herschel Walker.
In reverse here, right now.
Sorry, it's part of the atmosphere.
Every single cart in
reverse.
I think
it's part of the atmosphere. I like it.
Do you think if you put every cart here in reverse at the same time, would it just be like a piercing, ringing noise that would drive everyone off their rocker?
I think so, yeah. I think so.
I went from Herschel Walker to Kenan Thompson to, it was like the list was so random.
Hold on, I kind of want to look it up. Because there was a stretch there where every Friday it was just on Frankie's Instagram.
You had like A-Rod on there, didn't you? Like, you've had some.
Do I not have service right now?
Big ones on there.
Let's scroll down a little bit. Scroll down.
Ron Weasley.
John Hamm.
Ron Weasley.
Mr. Borelli.
Mr. Good one.
Emmanuel Shariki.
Yeah, Sloan. Ooh. John Cena. Dr. Oz. It's crazy.
Dude, Bryce Harper.
Olivia Culpo.
The Sports Pope, number one. Mike Francesa. I just read your Instagram caption. It's a pretty crazy stretch. And now it's, but like, since you have been doing less and less of those pizza reviews, your Instagram has less and less posts.
Yeah.
I
think that I've gotten, like, I just don't ask them as much as I used to, right? Like, because we're still around a lot of celebrities at the office and stuff. If it spanks my fancy, I'll run up there and grab a picture. But dude, I used to be psychotic. Because I needed to do it for the Instagram. I was like, I got to take this picture.
Well, and now the office that we're in is different than the office we were in before. Where the old office...
They had to walk right by.
They had to come off the elevator, and they were just in the office. And everybody was right there.
What did Soulja Boy say when he came on?
Soulja Boy in the building.
Soulja Boy in the building.
He fucking awesome.
Screamed it, and he walked in with a huge...
Immediately smelled like weed in the entire office. It was great.
He walked in with his little like PlayStation that he made, like his gaming...
Yeah, he did like Soulja Boy video games.
Yeah.
Which was right after his infamous Drake interview at the Breakfast Club. He was wearing the same outfit. It was great.
Announcing yourself as you enter somewhere.
Soulja Boy in the building.
Soulja Boy in the building. Yeah. But now the office is different where you've got to get off the elevator and it's...
Dude, also that was the same day that Soulja Boy just made me and Dave wait for a pizza review for like an hour. And Dave's like, I don't know what the fuck Soulja Boy is doing in there. We actually call, when we wait, we call that getting Soulja Boy. He's like, I'm getting Soulja Boy. Dude, we ended up not doing the pizza review, I'm pretty sure. Like,
he was just sitting in an SUV,
Soulja Boy was
right?
sitting in the SUV smoking. We stood outside waiting for him to be done smoking for 30 to 40 minutes. The pizza got cold. Dave's like, this is insane. Soulja Boy emerged from the fucking, this cloud of smoke inside this SUV and then complained that the pizza was cold. Like, was mad that we were waiting for a new pizza. And Dave's like, Soulja Boy, I don't know what to tell you. Like, we've been waiting for an hour. Like, we had to order a new pizza. Like, and Soulja Boy like stormed off. He's like, I don't fucking wait for nobody.
That's the Soulja Boy experience.
It's unbelievable.
Did you guys post that review?
I think
a no review.
Yeah, it was like featuring Soulja Boy, and Dave's like, I don't know where Soulja Boy is.
Long story short, we don't know what to post on Instagram if we don't run into famous people.
How did we get into this? What road were we going down?
Oh, me loving Twitter so much because I didn't go to the range. at Sheep Ranch because I right up to it, Ranch. And I played the best round of my life, or yeah. one of the best front nines of my life.
I'll say I very much subscribe to the belief that if you have a great range session, you never play well. When you have a really bad range session or no range session, I tend to play better.
It's like that in baseball. Pitchers always say that. If they pitch right. a no-hitter or a perfect game, they're like, what was your bullpen like before? And they're like, it was the worst
fucking
bullpen
disaster.
Of my life.
David Wells got fucking shit-faced the night before his Yankees. He was still hungover.
Yeah.
I think he was still drunk when he threw a perfect game.
He's out there vibing.
Yeah.
Remember when Anthony Kim went out and got hammered on Saturday night at the President's Cup and then just dusted Stuart Appleby the next
yes.
day, who was
what
like,
game,
yeah, my
man,
buddy saw him coming into the hotel at 10 a.m. after being out all night, and then he just steamrolled me.
There's something about that that loosens your nerves. Like, when I'm really hungover, I feel like that's when I'm my funniest as well, because you're just like, there's no filter.
Dude, the first time I ever played in a real tournament, which I've only done like twice in my life.
Bahamas?
No, that was the other time.
Okay.
That went worse than this. Shot 102.
Pretty good score for some folks.
Yeah, no offense to 102.
Shot that at Aaron Hills. So did you.
That's a tough course.
Not that hard.
It's pretty hard.
Aaron Hills?
Trent Hills?
Trent Hills. Almost. If you had missed that putt and shot a 103, I was going to have shirts made
T-shirts.
And everything.
Thank God I
made that
putt. I'd make like a 6 foot.
I'm hungover.
Only the
first.
You're hungover right now. Well, that's right. You went to a wedding last night.
Yep.
Anyway,
first time I played with my buddy Ryan, and it was teams of two, and it was like a legitimate amateur tournament in Massachusetts, and we were all geared up. We're talking about it for like a month straight. We get out there, and I cold topped my first tee shot. He ended up making a pretty gutsy par. And the next hole, we both were slapping around, and the next hole, he's like, "Hey, by the way, I have whiskey in my bag. Do you want to just like rip a?" We just went over to the side of the tee. We both just took a shot. It was the only thing we drank the whole round. We just took a shot. And then after that, we played much better. Sometimes you just got to get rid of the nerves. You
calm
have
the nerves.
To get rid of the nerves.
Really? I agree with that.
I need to hit range balls. I think it's psychotic for my first attempt at something to be when it's the thing.
I would agree
so
with you.
I always
you.
Say that. I'm like, when I can't hit a range and then someone watches me shank an iron, I'm like, well, it's the first time I'm attempting to do this, and I have like a crazy lie, like the ball's above my feet. Like this is insane to think I can just come out here and execute this without practicing it or like getting the bad ones out of the way is insane.
I'm with you, but evidence would suggest, at least for me, that like if you just go out there and do it, don't think about it, you're gonna play better. And the next time I play, I'm not going to the range, and I'm gonna see what happens. If it happens again, then I'm just
some
not
people
a range
have
guy.
crazy fears of range. My buddy Kyle, like, he looks at a range like it's a death trap, because he got the shanks once.
Yeah.
At oh my god, dude, my brain is so fucked. It's a place next to Liberty National, Francis's spot.
Bayonne.
My buddy Kyle got the shanks at Bayonne. Never in his life has he ever been more nervous to go step up to a first tee. Literally did not hit a ball straight the entire practice round, the range session, and ended up having a great day, but. Fuck, man.
Trent's right. First tee there, too, you're like in the pro shop.
Yeah.
At Bayonne. Andy Solomon, Ian Solomon's dad, was wearing a Bayonne hat when he showed up earlier. Anchor, you seen that logo?
No.
The anchor with a B in the middle of it? Bayonne? Wow. Pretty cool.
Anchor is a good anchor for a logo.
I think it's
an anchor. Can you hear that guy doing those hedges over there?
Maybe it's a buoy. Is it an anchor? Yeah, I think it's an anchor.
We got a guy doing some hedges over there. Can they hear that? Okay.
Is it like kind of a nice soothing background, like you're on a golf course? Or is it like, oh man, I wish that guy would stop fucking mowing those hedges?
Sorry, I got cloudy. Is it going to fucking rain today?
I saw a little bit of percentage chance, but I thought it was going to be later.
Okay.
But to make it rain on that guy if he doesn't fucking stop.
I bet it's not that bad to the listener. That's my guess.
I want to go to sleep.
Hideki Matsuyama.
A win.
Zozo. Wins the Zozo in Japan, home country. My favorite part about this whole thing was his pre-tournament quote. He said, right before the tournament started, "If my game scored 10 out of 10 at the Masters," which he won, "now I would say it scores less than 1. I will be struggling this week, but I'm here in Japan, so I'm motivated to be in contention."
That encapsulates his entire career.
He won by 5.
That encapsulates his entire like vibe on a golf course, because he is infamous for hitting a shot. Hitting, you know, being like, oh, that's not a good one. Like, throwing the club down, hanging his head, and then it lands 8 feet from the pin.
He had one this week where he did the one-handed disgusted finish, then put his hands over his head. Ball went to like 10 feet, and he made it for birdie. He put his hands over his head like he just lost a family member. Like, it was that. Yeah. It was amazing. And then, you know, he makes birdie and doesn't. So you are right. That is like his whole game and existence on the golf course in a nutshell.
Being like, it's not probably that good. My game's not that good right now. And then he wins by five. Eagles the last hole.
He called his game less than a one.
One by five.
He won by five shots.
Yeah.
I mean, playing against, you know, some of the best players in the world.
Yeah, he's just got a weird like sense of his own confidence. I don't know how else to put it. And he was, the pictures of him with the trophy afterwards were actually funny. It looked like he was having a good time. It's that the Zozo is that fan-looking trophy.
Yeah.
Everyone right now is probably picturing it with Tiger Woods holding it because that's what I'm picturing.
Mm-hmm.
But he was putting his head like through the circular part. Hideki Matsuyama seems like a good time.
Is that what Zozo is, that fan thing?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Could you picture Tiger?
No, I know, but I know the trophy. I just didn't know that that was the actual company.
Oh, I don't know if I answered your question correctly then. I just know that that's the trophy for the Zozo.
Is what?
Oh, okay. No.
Gotcha.
They're not.
That makes
a
lot more sense.
They're not a fan company.
That's what I was thinking.
I would doubt that they are.
I remember when Dave got the circle fan thing back in the Milton days.
Dave, I can picture that on Dave's desk. Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes.
That's what I was thinking.
Zozo was that company.
And I was like, what? But no, you're saying the Zozo is a totally different company than the fan company. Their trophy just looks like that fan.
Correct. All right. Would be an insane coincidence if they are the company that makes that fan.
They're not. I'm looking at it right now.
I'm with you. I don't know how those fans work either, because there's nothing. There's no blades. It's just a spinning thing.
I don't understand how arches work.
How what work?
Arches. You know the science where architecturally where arches can hold like an enormous amount of weight because of the simple design feature of an arch. It like allocates a bunch of the weight of the things it's holding up in a different way than just normal like pillars and such. That's why arches are like incredibly popular among architecture, and they can hold a bunch of stuff. Like this is a little bit of an arch right there, right? So there's like a pretty big gap between the pillars there, but that arch like takes a lot of the weight and pressure and dominates architecturally.
You see that with bridges a lot.
Bridges are arched all the time.
I actually didn't know that about
arches.
Yeah,
I don't get that. You'd think that they would just fall down.
Right, that's what I mean.
There's nothing holding it up.
Right. There's gravity should just knock that down.
It has something to do with weight distribution, I'm guessing?
Yeah, with like the arch and it, again, like based on the curvature, once you curve something, you can get significantly more bang for your buck when it comes to...
I'm a little surprised by that because as a young child, we went to St. Louis, which you know very well, and I went up into the arch, and it was, it swayed quite a bit.
Sways like a motherfucker.
Which is, it's one of the scarier things that I've ever experienced.
The arch sucks.
You go up there, you go up in these little elevators that are just like...
Totally.
Chink, and then you get up there, and it's not even big enough to stand in. You have to crawl through the arch.
It's like a crawl space. You would think it'd be this enormous, you know, fun tourist thing. It sucks.
And you got these little windows that you look at, and you're just like, oh, I'm way up here, and I can feel the wind.
Don't get me wrong. I love the arch as a beautiful staple of the city and all that, but the actual experience of going into the arch is terrible.
Do they still let people go up in it?
I hope not.
They shouldn't. I mean, this was 20 years ago, and it felt wobbly then.
You know what I did for the first time yesterday?
What?
I watched Formula One live.
Oh, they were in Austin, yeah?
Yeah.
How was it?
Awesome. Max Verstappen.
Yep.
Red Bull. Won. He took down Lewis Hamilton, so it was like the dream finish.
Wow.
With those two going neck to neck.
Do you watch the whole thing?
No, I watched like the last 20 laps.
Yeah.
It was cool. Because they were... So it was... You know, we've all watched Drive to Survive. Have you watched most of it?
I'm still working through it.
Yeah, yeah. So we've all watched Drive to Survive and gotten into it, but it's all... Right, the whole documentary is obviously goes through things that have already happened. So I haven't really been able to watch it in real time. And they're all over the world. So they're in like Europe and you can't watch it at certain times, whatever. I just hasn't stacked up. Well, yesterday they're in Austin and I was scrolling through channels in my hotel room when I got in and I saw it and I was like, oh shit, what's going on here? And those are like the two big names. They're first and second in the whole standings for the entire season. And what happened was Verstappen won pole position, but then on the very first turn of the race, fucking Lewis Hamilton overtook him, which never happens.
Right.
Literally right out of the gate, overtook him. And then on the 10th lap, Verstappen pitted and got new tires. On the 10th lap of the race, which is insanely early.
Yeah.
And it was like a crazy bold move. And then it ended up panning out because every driver ended up pitting twice because I guess the Austin track is really hard on tires. So ended up doing that. And then so in the last like 16 laps to go or something, basically Lewis Hamilton was in first, but he still had to pit. So it was like this fucking,
oh yeah,
this back and forth strategic game. So then he pits, ends up in second, chasing down Max the whole time, and he ends up holding on and winning. It was awesome.
That sounds awesome.
Crowd was going crazy.
I'm sure.
Like the roars were insanely loud because there's like hundreds of thousands of people down there. It was cool.
How are you paying attention with this noise going on?
Mentally strong. Mental strength.
This has to be the worst podcast experience of all time.
They're getting closer.
There's just an insane noise going on in the back. It's like an audio experience.
He's definitely getting closer.
All right, this is not a racing podcast, even though I'd love to keep talking about Formula One. It was great. I want to go to one. I want to go to a Grand Prix someday. By the way,
Austin was probably our best opportunity.
A Grand Prix.
That's what the guy. That's what they always say on the show. Grand Prix. Like they say it differently. Grand Prix. Have you ever heard them say
that?
Well,
do they have accents when they say?
They do, but like I feel like their accent is like Grand Prix. I feel like
Grand Prix sounds
dorky.
Stupid now.
Yeah. Oh, it's the Grand Prix.
By the way, for the people watching on YouTube, we changed spots.
We did just change spots.
Like, we just clapped.
Oh, I would have never thought
of
that.
All of a sudden, we're in a different place.
Like, I was trimming hedges over there.
Which, again, he's just doing his job. That's actually, we are the ones that, that's like when people get mad at the shark. And it's like, no, the shark, that's where the shark lives. Like, you're the, what are you doing there?
We're the ones who are just like, there's not a podcast out here every day.
Right. Like, imagine if a shark came into your kitchen and you were like, people were mad at you. Be like, no, I live here. This is my kitchen.
Right.
That's kind of what we did to that guy. Same He's like, thing. Dude, I trim these fucking hedges every Monday.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1. Every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
We got people doing the putting contest behind us, so if you hear a couple roars,
yep,
you know, that may be the reason. So we talked briefly about Hideki. Very cool. He did what Tiger Woods did in 2019, which is win the Masters and then also win the Zozo Championship in Japan, which we always like to see. There was another quote that came out from Charlie Hoffman, where Charlie Hoffman was quoted and asked, you know, what he's heard, what's the rumor mill saying about Tiger Woods. Charlie Hoffman said, "I expect he will be out here soon, sometime soon, and hopefully competing to win."
Oh.
I expect he will be, Charlie Hoffman expects Tiger will be out here
just
soon.
More of the same shit that we've been talking about. This guy's fucking coming back, and it's going to be, you can tell that he's gearing up for something.
I think
there's
so
like
too.
Whispers now.
There's too many,
Charlie
there's too
Hoffman
much noise.
Knows about this.
See, that's the thing that I took away from that the most was all of the other quotes and sources that have come out felt very controlled by the Tiger, by Tiger's camp and by Tiger. I feel like Charlie just sort of said that. And he's just a feeling that he has. I don't think, like, I bet Tiger didn't expect Charlie to say that. That's the vibe that I got.
Yeah, agreed. And I think all the other things, like you said, that came out, Tiger did expect.
Right.
That was in line with the narrative they were kind of
like. I don't know if upset might not be the right word, but Tiger might be a little upset with that quote from Charlie. Because Tiger likes to control everything.
I don't know, though.
And that sets an expectation. All the other ones were just like, yeah, he's feeling better. He's probably going to play, you know, hopefully going to play soon at some point, whatever. That one is like, he's going to win. And I know Tiger definitely thinks that way, but I don't know if he wants that part of the narrative yet.
I think at this point, though, Tiger's happy with all these little whispers. Or else they wouldn't be getting out. Like, you think
the Ricky leaks for sure.
Like, at that point, it's almost like Tiger was texting Ricky what to say.
Agreed.
That's what I mean about Charlie. Charlie, that feels like he didn't talk to Tiger. He didn't talk to anybody.
Maybe that's coming from Tiger.
Maybe. And I would love that if that were the case.
The confidence back.
It just came out of nowhere, and it was so like, I expect him to win.
Yeah, like I expect him to come back, and he's going to be competing. That, look, smoke, fire, all that stuff. There's a lot of smoke about Tiger Woods coming out in the last 2 months. That is in no way leading to like, oh yeah, I hope he can just walk again. Now it's like, oh yeah, golf, competing, returning.
Win.
Golf. Win. Tiger Woods. Golf. Win.
And I know we all fully expect that. I just didn't expect a PGA Tour player to say it.
You guys seen Black Widow?
Nope.
I watched it last night in the hotel room.
How was it?
Good.
Scarlet?
Scarlet. And, I'm not huge into the Avengers here. I haven't seen many of the Avengers movies.
Okay.
So I actually kind of liked that because I didn't know all the other BS. It was good. It was entertaining.
That you'd rather not know all the stuff?
I don't know if it would rather not, but it was. It felt like I was having a little bit different experience than most people.
I was talking when we were on the Pup Punk, when we were on that trip with Robbie Fox about when we went to go see Endgame in the movie theater. We saw it in an IMAX theater with a bunch of us. Were you there, Trent?
Yep.
Probably my best movie experience I've ever had.
Really?
I mean, it was like a final like period of a playoff hockey game. People were jumping up and down when things happened.
Oh yeah.
Sorry for the spoilers, but when Captain America catches Thor's hammer, the place went fucking bananas.
Robbie cried a lot.
Screaming, jumping on chairs, high-fiving, like a goal just happened.
I think the biggest crowd interaction I've ever heard seen a movie was Air Force One when Harrison Ford goes, "Get off my plane," and kicks a guy off the plane. The theater went bananas.
It is. That was because I've seen all the Marvel movies, but I'm not like, we talked about last podcast when you asked me who my favorite superhero was. I didn't have like a ready made answer. Like, I'm not that into it, but that is a movie going experience that I will never forget. And yeah, a movie going experience that will probably never happen again. The way that they like put those movies out, yeah, it took a decade to do it, and it all fit perfectly. The movies were all great. The storylines were great, obviously. And then to have it all pay off at one movie and have it at one movie viewing experience,
and the
it
moment
was great.
That I was talking about with the hammer, like there were in other movies, like no one can lift up Thor's hammer, obviously. But then there were like those little hints that maybe Captain America one day could, because he like moved it.
Yeah, it's at Iron Man's like apartment.
Yeah,
they're like all trying. It's like a drinking game. And then Captain America sort of does it, and Thor gives it the look like, "What the fuck just happened?"
Right. And then 7 years later, or whatever it is, the moment that everyone needs him to pick it up, it comes to him. So, I mean, just as cool of a moment as you can possibly get. It's movie writing it, dude. These fucking Yellow Jackets are a problem. Dude, I got stung by one a couple weeks ago. Right.
Get off my plane.
I went to go kiss my grandma.
Right now for the audio experience, we're battling with a bee.
I went to go kiss my grandma on the cheek, and I said, I saw her, and a Yellow Jacket went in between our cheeks and bit me in the fucking cheek.
Come on.
Bit you or stung you?
Oh, yeah. I keep saying bit. Everyone.
If he bit you, it probably wouldn't hurt as bad.
Everyone corrected me when I kept saying I got bit.
Did you die afterward? Don't they die?
Yeah, I got stung.
No, but if they sting, they
die. I don't
die,
know.
I didn't
fucking see them. I was like, my
I think
face
they have to like
up.
Sell the farm to sting somebody.
They do. It's a one shot.
Kamikaze.
Right.
Yeah.
So they must really not like you. They're going to be like, yeah, I'm just going to die to fucking make this guy rattled for a few minutes.
I think over the course of, well, you're not traveling as much now because this is the last classic stop, but I was going to say you should just start working your way slowly through the Avengers movies.
Yeah.
You'll enjoy yourself.
You're always looking for something.
Right.
I've seen like, yeah. I mean, I've obviously seen Iron. I've seen sprinkles here and there.
Yeah.
But I want to get fully into it.
It's a very fun experience that the whole world enjoyed.
So we get a couple from the galleries that I whipped up here from the folks. Connor says, and again, foreplay@barstoolsports.com. Shoot us an email. You got to put "from the gallery" in the title, and you got to make sure it's not long, otherwise I won't read it. Did you know that in 1971, astronauts snuck a 6-iron and golf balls to the moon and took golf shots? I think we've all seen the golf swings.
I've seen the swings,
I didn't
yeah.
I know that was a 6-iron. Is that right?
Oh, I guess I never thought about what
yeah,
club it was.
A driver, no? T10?
Now that I'm looking and thinking back on the visual, it's definitely an iron. But I also didn't know that they snuck those on to the aircraft or the shuttle. Is that what you call it?
Shuttle. Space
the shuttle.
Shuttle,
which I don't think I would have done that. If you're blasting off into space and you're going to the moon, NASA, I'm pretty sure, checks everything. And everything has to be to the specific calculation that is going to take this shuttle from Earth on the ground to moon on the ground. And I don't want any sort of weight distribution to be just a little bit off, and then we're just it's over.
You can't call it an airplane because there's no air in space.
There's right? No air in space. Right.
So yeah, space shuttle.
It's a space shuttle. But you know what I'm saying?
There's no snuck is it's gotta be the wrong verb.
Okay.
There's no way that Houston was just like, oh my god, there's a golf club.
It's like, holy shit, we didn't
How did
know
that happen?
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't everything like weight distribution, every little minute thing has to be checked a billion times?
Because what you're doing is you are just lighting a rocket under your ass and going up into space. Like, that's how you get up there. A very powerful rocket.
And then you detach the space shuttle from that rocket, and then it just flies into outer space.
Yeah, like, if you sneak golf clubs on there, they'd be like, what's this extra 4 pounds? We now can't make it to the moon.
He goes on to say, do you think, he goes, how fun would golf on the moon be? Do you think Bezos or Musk or any of those guys will ever get a course built on the moon? I feel like this has potential. So I was thinking about this on the Uber in this morning to the course. I think before humanity's done, there will be a golf course of sorts on the moon. Because rich people love golf.
That's what I was going to say. You're right.
Fucking love golf. And if you go like every awesome location on Earth, they've built golf courses. Like cliffs in California, golf courses. Sick mountains in like Colorado, golf courses.
Yeah.
Desert with it, golf courses. So now you got to think, moon, rich guys, they're the ones that run this shit. Yep. Rich guys love golf. I think there's going to be a golf course in the moon at some point.
I actually don't disagree with you. I was trying to think if Bezos or Musk are that into golf, and I don't think they are. But
they're not, but some of these, you know what I mean?
Right. It becomes an incentive for rich people to go to the moon. And if you incentivize rich people to do something, usually they do it.
And the other thing I was thinking about is, what is the real attraction of going to the moon outside of just going to the moon? Like, I get that that's an attraction in and of itself. What are you going to do there? Like, people get bored. Like, it's pretty common for us to be like,
but it is the moon.
I get that, but you're just going to stand there? Like, no, you want to play, you want
to
do something.
It is a very funny thought that you get to the moon, like this huge expedition, all this hard work, and you get there and you're bored.
Yeah. Like, all right.
Maybe not.
What are we going to play tag? Like, what are we doing?
And play Candy Crush.
And maybe not even a full golf course. Maybe you put one hole on the moon.
You play it, you're fine.
You
take
put
a couple
like
pictures
a 5,000 yard par three. Like, how far does a golf ball go on the moon? Really far.
It's no gravity. No gravity. It's like zero gravity. So I think that's almost, again, the more I thought about it, so yes, someone is absolutely going to put some version of a golf course on the moon. And then, like I was saying earlier, there's golf courses are like the reasons that we've been to places. Like, why have we been to Oregon? Band of Dunes is there.
Yeah.
Why have we been to like Pinehurst, North Carolina? Golf courses are there. So like when you go to the moon, not saying that's the only reason, but I think to, again, some of these really rich fuckers that might be like, I was kind of considering paying, you know, $1 million to go to the moon, but now there's a golf course up there. I'm definitely going to go to the moon.
You know what I also like is that I like the one hole idea because you could do a closest to the pin competition throughout humanity. Because when something lands on the moon, it stays there, correct? Like the tire tracks from the first time that we were up on the moon, I'm pretty sure are still there.
Wow.
Because there's no wind, there's none of that stuff. So you just do a however long humanity goes, you do a closest to the pin competition.
Wow.
And the balls just stay there.
It stays there forever.
Forever. So 500 years from now, they're like, oh yeah, when it's a lot easier to go to the moon, they're like, yeah, let's go up there. We'll do the closest to the pin. Somebody from 340 years ago got to within a foot. We're going to try and get closer.
Imagine you get the first ace on the moon.
Oh. Dude.
Come on.
The only problem is, will the ball ever land? Yeah?
I think there's a little bit of gravity. I don't think it's much.
All right, everybody's looking at me like I'm a fucking idiot.
No,
I don't know anything about the moon and stuff lands.
Well, let me tell you this. Like, when they like jumped and they're like taking one giant, they didn't just float off into space.
They also had an immense amount of weight on them.
But if there's no gravity, weight doesn't matter.
What?
No, I think that's right.
Yeah, but there's probably some gravity.
That's what I'm saying. I think there's a little bit of gravity.
The ball definitely isn't going to come down.
Yeah, you'll have to get a ball that weighs 800 pounds.
Right.
Which I think is
like
doable.
If humans have to weigh themselves down to the point where it has to have a certain amount of weight for them to not float into space, and the little gravity that there is will pull them back down to the surface of the moon, then what do you think a golf ball's going to do?
All right, so you need special golf balls.
Moon surface gravity is about 1/6 as powerful as the gravity on Earth.
Or my point
it's
is
actually
if,
way
if,
more than I would have thought.
If a guy, yeah. if an astronaut got out off a ship and just stepped outside without the weight, I assume that he would float forever?
No, because what he's saying is that
it's
1/6.
Why do they have to weigh it down just to get down there? That's my point.
I think you do have to weigh it down, but
my point is like a golf ball would never come down.
That's why I'm saying you have to have a special golf
right.
ball.
I don't think Riggs believes that.
Say that again? I was navigating my phone.
So I think because of the idea that you have to weigh yourself down on the moon to stay on the surface because of the limited gravity, that the idea that a regular golf ball would come down, I think, is impossible. Because if a regular guy without being weighed down doesn't come down to the surface, how is a ball going to come down to the surface? I could be wrong about that, but doesn't
maybe
that,
they just want to be super careful with that guy?
Does the math and
golf
science
ball
check
flies
out
off?
Here?
Not that big of a deal.
E-Bug just said yes.
Fucking Neil.
He's like, yeah, absolutely.
He's like, yeah, I've been hammering these keys back here. I figured it out.
You know, Neil Armstrong doesn't come back. That's tough.
Yeah, so there obviously is a little bit
we
of gravity.
Have to find out if they're weighing themselves down because of if they don't, they'll fly away.
I guess when that's he says answer. That it's 1/6 of the gravity here, does that just mean it takes 6 times longer to come down?
Well, no, it's like an actual force. It's dragging you. It's not like it has nothing to do with like hang time.
I feel like it does.
It's a force. It's like it's we like have one four. Stronger than the other, but I don't think that has anything to do with like this is.
No, but I think he's right because if gravity's way stronger, you would go down faster. It would just you would accelerate, right?
Right, but my point like, is like if it's 1/6 as strong, like
you're just not going to accelerate.
It's not
as
like
fast.
You're. I just don't think that like you're going to come down 6 times slower. I think that like
I think you are.
I think because it's
I think
one.
You are.
But I think you come down like a feather.
Right, like if you jumped up,
you don't
right,
think that like because spring. It's so light that like, you just go off into like the other atmosphere. Like you don't think that like,
maybe
you
should go
come
high
down,
enough,
but. You don't think because it's so weak that you actually never, it never pulls you? It's like 1/6.
I think
the
that's no gravity. No gravity, yes, but 1/6, I think it's everything is 6 times slower.
We need to find out what happens if you go on the moon with no weight and you just fucking, you just get off the spaceship and you walk on. I think that you never hit the ground.
Never? That's no gravity. We'll figure it out, or somebody will figure it out for us.
I'm with Trent. But I do think you're right, that the golf ball thing, on some level, I think the golf ball will come down. It just will be, like, laughable. Like, it'll be in the air forever.
Yeah.
For a long time, and then, like, really slowly come down.
So you think a golf ball comes down 6 times slower on the moon?
Just by the numbers that I've been given, yeah.
That's not that long, then. You know what I mean? Like, let's say I hit a fucking little chip shot.
It's watch guys
air.
Jump.
It's in the air on Earth for half a second. So you're saying it's... If I hit a little chip shot...
3 seconds.
Can't be right. Your math is wrong.
I think he's right.
No way. Bro, the ball's
why are you a moon expert?
The ball's going to float for an hour if
no,
I hit a chip
no,
shot.
No, I don't think so.
See, you're
are
thinking...
Are we going insane? You think a light golf ball...
Why do you all of a sudden know all of everything about the moon? He just gave us the number. It's 1/6. All
right, Isaac Newton, what happens if, like
but picture that, though. You really think
picture
so?
A guy jumping up and down the moon. He
with
goes
a ton
up.
Of weight. It, like, takes him 3 seconds to, like, jump. You ever watch those guys?
But he comes down.
Yeah, he's got, like, 1,000 pounds on him, doesn't he? Have we looked up how heavy an astronaut suit is? Can somebody help me?
You seem to think that there's no gravity on the moon, which I actually thought when we first started this conversation. But as Riggs said, it's 1/6 of the amount that Earth has. 280 pounds
extra of excess stuff
on the ground of an astronaut suit.
Yeah, dude, that's fucking heavy, man.
It is.
It just is, to keep them, like, grounded. So you really think if I chip a golf ball in the air, which usually takes half a second to a second to come down on Earth, you think it's going to come down in 6 seconds?
With the numbers that I've been given, yeah.
I just can't picture it. I can't, like...
That's still... Did you hit a little chip shot? It's in the air for 6 seconds? That's forever.
But, dude, they're fucking floating. It's space. It's the moon. They're... Like, the men that are out there are floating with 300 pounds attached to them.
Yes, because they feel they're, like, 6 times... They're weightless times 6. Their weight is distributed to the point where it's...
All right, so like when they jump...
Yep.
Right, when I jump, it's fucking a millisecond.
Right.
So you're saying it's like 0.5 seconds on the moon?
But here's... Do you remember this from physics class where without air, so if you're in a vacuum, a feather and an airplane fall at the exact same speed
correct.
On Earth? Exact same speed.
Without air.
Without air, and there's no air. Right. There's not, like, an atmosphere on the moon. So, like, a golf ball and an astronaut with 10 billion pounds on them, in theory, they fall at the exact same rate. Exact same.
So why do they weigh them down?
Probably need all of it to survive.
We're missing
something. 280 pounds isn't, like, that crazy.
We're missing something because... If I dropped the ball and that man in that 280-pound suit at the same time, I guarantee the guy in the suit is hitting the ground on the moon faster.
I think physics would tell you that you're wrong.
Yeah, I think physics is
insane. So then why are they weighing them down?
They're in an atmosphere that their bodies can't stand. Their suits have to be...
So it has nothing to do with the gravity. It has everything to do with, like, they need the pressure.
Well, I think that, like, the equipment, I don't think they're just carrying around dumbbells so they don't fly away.
So you don't think any of it has to do with weighing them down to get that back to...
The more we're talking about it, no.
Wow. That would be a fact that I've never known, and that would be very interesting to me.
Because of the physics point that you brought up.
Do you remember that from class?
I do.
When they would say that?
I do.
You'd be like, whoa.
Right, because you obviously think the plane's going to fall faster because it weighs more, but that's not how physics works.
No, it doesn't
wow,
matter.
People are probably mad at me.
No,
I'm mad at you, Frank.
No.
We just think you're, you know, we're just, again, none of us are
I don't know the answer.
Scientists up here. I think this is what
do
we
have
think.
Any answer on why they weigh that down, the astronaut?
I don't know that they weigh them down. Again, I think you're, I don't think them, their equipment that they need to survive being really heavy is not the same thing as them using it to combat, like, light gravity.
And I would have been on your side until he said the thing about 1/6 gravity.
Right.
Now with that evidence, it's like, oh, then things are just like falling at a different rate.
If you would have told me it was 1/6 millionth, I would have believed it. 1/6 is like you're kind of in the ballpark.
I actually want an answer, so if people have them, please send them to us.
1/6 to me is insane. The chipping of the golf ball to me, then I guess like the moon's a lie. The moon has always been a lie.
How so?
Because you think you fucking, there's all these stories about hitting a golf ball.
You think you're like Sandra Bullock and gravity and you just go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bug is looking it up.
All right. 8-iron? Yeah. Say, bro. NASA.gov says they brought an 8-iron up there. Interesting club choice. I would thought they'd bring a driver.
Yeah, I wonder why. I wonder what the decision process
wouldn't you tee that pitch
like.
Up and just one would just wet your first swing and hit
no,
an 8-iron with a suit on?
The reason I say no is because I'd like to divot a little moon dust. I'd like to take up a little dust when I hit. The visual might be a little cooler.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
I would never thought of that.
Yeah.
Take a little moon dust divot.
Right. Moon dust divot.
Since the moon is smaller than Earth, it has a weaker gravitational pull. In fact, the moon has only 1/6 of gravity the Earth does. That means you weigh 6 times less on the moon than you do on Earth. When the astronauts landed on the moon in 1969, they wore spacesuits and carried heavy packs of equipment.
So here, let me just look at this quick. If you do 280 divided by 6, that's how much they weigh. Whoops. So they weigh 46 pounds. On the moon.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I still think that they're, like, that explanation right there.
Let's go to the moon. Let's hit a chip shot.
I would love to.
I think that explanation
I don't think
right
I would
showed.
Go. I don't think I would go.
Oh, I wouldn't go either.
No way. It's too scary.
Not unless they build that golf course we're talking about.
Yeah. All right. I think we're going to get a lot of responses on who's right.
When the astronauts land on the moon, everything weighed only 1/6 of its Earth weight, and the astronauts were able to move around very easily.
Which is what Trencher said.
That stands to
which
reason.
Is, yeah, like 46 pounds is much more reasonable.
Right.
Than
280. Oh. Which I would have never thought about, but that, yeah, that's. You need an enormous amount of weight if it really was to weigh you down because it's only 1/6.
Right.
And
then it becomes.
Saying the heavier. See, like, there is something, and people are going to probably say, I got you. You're an idiot. But, like, there is something to do with the amount of mass does get pulled more. Like, if something is 200, like, because there is gravity on the moon, the weight and mass has to come into factor. It's not a vacuum.
Right? But it is because there's
no
atmosphere.
No,
but there has to there has to be a difference with the gravitational pull with mass. Like, if something's 200 pounds and something's 100 pounds, you have more mass so that your gravitational force comes down more than something that's 100 pounds. There has to be a difference.
No, unless.
You don't think so?
Physics would tell you no, and that I will say that's true. That's what we're saying with the feather and the plane. With no air, no atmosphere, things that weigh many different
pounds.
Aren't
they saying that with like no gravity also?
Physics could be different. They could change when you get to the moon. I agree with that. I don't know that.
Fuck.
What else you got from the gallery?
Heavy objects fall at the same rate as light ones. The acceleration due to gravity is about 10 meters per square.
Okay.
10 meters per second squared everywhere around Earth, so all objects experience the same acceleration when they fall.
Could change on the moon, though.
Well, now you're just talking about, like, anything that falls has the same acceleration.
Right. Heavy objects fall at the same rate as light ones.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about that. We're talking about does mass and weight have... does gravity get affected, or does the mass of something get affected more by being...
Well, it like just says heavy objects fall at the same... Right, but that's... The reason things fall is because they're being pulled by gravity.
You're saying on Earth that's true too.
Right.
Right, but they're saying everything falls at the same rate. Now, okay. If air, like, that's a whole nother factor. What we're saying is on the moon, there's no air. So there's not this external factor
so
that
air,
is out, involving
so if
gravity.
If I have a cruise ship and a penny,
mm-hmm.
yep.
no, and a feather, air is stop is the reason why.
That's what messes with gravity, yeah.
Right.
That's what messes with gravity when it's coming down. There's no air, they would fall in a vacuum at the exact same rate.
And I think the moon is a vacuum, essentially.
Closer, for sure, if not a vacuum. A little physics lesson here on 4Play Golf Podcast.
Yeah. Smarter people are yelling at us right now.
Big time.
Smarter people are furious.
Also, fuck those people.
People who wear Imperial headwear believe it's more than just a cap. Every stitch matters, and every moment should be cherished. We will never forget that each and every cap we make is a cap that will be proudly worn as a badge of honor, a commitment to be showcased, or a story to be celebrated. Our dedication to detail has driven us forward for over 100 years. So wherever you go, Imperial will be right there with you.
Find anything else out over there?
Breaking news. They actually conducted this experiment on the moon.
Okay.
Okay.
In 1971, astronaut David Scott conducted Galileo's famous hammer and feather drop experiment on the moon.
Okay.
Galileo had concluded that all objects, regardless of mass...
By the way, that means you referenced Galileo earlier.
Galileo...
It's pretty
literally,
I thought I'd be that close.
Literally, it says here, regardless of mass, which was my whole entire argument,
yep.
fall at the same speed. However, the resistance caused by the air... can cause a feather to drop slower. Well, on the moon, there is no atmosphere. It is a vacuum, so the objects should drop at the same speed. See for yourself in this video. I watched the video, and they fall at the same speed. The hammer and the feather.
That's legit. That's a good win. I needed a win here this fall. I remember because the first like physics class you have, when they talk about gravity, they hit you with that, and you're like, no way. You're
right.
Telling me a hammer and a feather or a fucking... Because I believe Galileo was the apple, right? The apple fell, hit him in the fucking head.
I think
head.
That was Newton.
That was Newton.
Yeah.
It hit him in the head, and he was like, now why'd that just happen?
Yeah.
And then we get to the point when they bring up, I think my teacher was like a fucking airplane, like a 747, and a feather fall at the same rate. You're like, ha, what an idiot.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, yeah.
So the idea
sense.
That the golf ball and the astronaut are two completely different weights
yep.
has nothing to do with when they would fall.
So no.
My argument that like because the golf ball is lighter, it should stay up in the air longer is just incorrect.
Yes.
Okay.
Day one physics class stuff.
I get that it obviously feels like it should be the other way around.
Clearly.
Because there is like some sort of gravitational pull, you would think that some things would be the same. Similar.
And right? It's just not, yeah. For whatever reason. That's how this universe is.
Are you mad at us?
No, I'm. It's like
I think he's.
Surprised. I really thought I had it
in the bag,
and it is day one physics stuff.
But that is a shocking fact. Like they had to go
Stunning.
To the moon and test it. They were like, "We all right."
True, that's a good point. Thank you.
I said this like 300 years ago. We're gonna test this shit.
Right. That is a. Good
they had
point.
To go to the moon,
right? Yeah. Before they could get an answer.
What can we do? We're gonna hit a golf ball. We got to do this fucking.
The
experiment.
Astronaut in 1971. You have to hear him. He goes, "Well, look at that." Like, they were all, like, shocked, too.
Like, that's a big scientific, like, yeah. discovery.
Right.
Yeah, so until 1971, nobody had ever proven that. And they had to literally leave this planet, which no one's ever done before, go to a different rock and try it out.
So, would a cruise ship be heavy in space?
It'd be 1/6 okay. of the weight.
Yeah.
That still isn't wrapping my... I'm not wrapping my head around it, unfortunately. Like, you'd have to have, like, a crane holding this cruise ship and then a feather, and they'd both just fucking drop at the same time.
Yes.
Yep. Same exact speed.
But the idea
the ground
that
the exact
cruise
same
ship
time.
Is so heavy that you have to have a crane to hold it up means nothing about how hard
nothing.
It falls.
No.
Whew. It's hard to wrap your head around.
Gravity pulls both of them at the exact
it's
same
It's hard
rate.
To wrap your head around that. Is it not?
No, it is.
Absolutely.
I don't disagree.
You're not alone in thinking
to
that.
To the point where it has to be incorrect.
No, see, that's where you're wrong.
Well, we never went to the moon anyway, so that experiment's
oh, okay. Fake. All right, let's move on to something else.
I got one for you. How many holes does a straw have?
Wait a minute. We didn't go to the moon in 1971, did we? Haven't we got... How many times have we actually been on the moon?
Not that many. 5 or 6.
Oh, okay. Because it hasn't been in like 40 years.
They like stopped.
Years.
I think somebody went maybe recently for the first time in like 30 years. I don't think
yeah.
we just like stopped.
We don't just like cruise up there.
Yeah. No, we were like,
which
we're all
is weird.
With that
like
moon.
Why we stopped doing
I know. Yeah, they just wanted to literally plant the flag and they're like, Now we're all set.
I guess there's nothing else to figure out there.
Until they build a golf course.
Exactly. All right.
How many holes does a straw have?
What? What?
How many holes does a straw have?
One could argue that it has one.
One could also argue that it's got two. You flip it over, it's just, there's another. This.
I think it's one hole. I think the answer is one hole in the straw.
I do too.
Me too.
All right.
Because a hole has to be like, you're cutting a hole into something. And the other end, it's just like, the other end of the straw is not like a hole in anything. It's just the end of the first hole.
I agree.
Okay, cool.
I think we can all agree on that one. That was pretty easy.
Good.
Excuse me.
I'm happy about that one.
Are we going to get a burger?
Yeah, we're going to get a burger once this is over.
Last one, then you're good?
Okay.
Zach, we got a hole in one question.
Yes, it counts.
That is going to be the answer. They almost always do.
Unless it's a par three course.
Playing from the black tees at a local muni, we come up to a 196-yard par three, but the tee deck is under repair, and they have mats instead. 15 yards ahead is the blue tees with a perfectly manicured tee box. So I said, fuck it, and I go hit from the blues, and it goes in.
Congratulations, brother. You have a hole-in-one.
Friends say it count. I says it. I say it doesn't. I says. What are your thoughts? Also, never had one, and I still think I don't have one. Hope you guys discussed this one. Been searching for answers. That's just a hole-in-one, brother.
That is. Why would that not count? And why is he fighting it so hard? If his friends are like, dude, you got a hole-in-one, and he's like, no, I didn't, well, then I guess you don't.
Let me say, yeah, right. Let me say this. If you just walked out there alone, teed off from 179, hit one swing, and it went in, that's a hole-in-one.
Yep.
How is this is significantly more legitimate than that. It's the middle of a round. The tee was just up on a hole. Who cares?
Right, he's just saying he played from a different tee that time. But it's not that different than playing from the other tees.
That counts. 100%. Last two were easy for us.
Of we all agree? Of the hole-in-ones that have right. We've debated about on this show, I think that one counts the most.
So congratulations to our friend Zach. He spelled like social media Zach over here, Z-A-C-K.
Squad.
Squad, Zach's, the Z's. Congratulations, you guys. First ace.
Sounds I don't like his attitude about it, I will say.
Fuck him.
Him being like, I don't think I have one, then like, I guess you don't have one. If fuck you're not him. Willing to accept what people are trying to give you, then you don't deserve it.
Fuck you, dude.
All right, I think we're going to wrap it up.
It's all right.
Thank you to Cherry Valley having us. Lovely Barstool Classic venue out here. We're going to go mingle with the folks now.
Yep.
And finish up this Barstool Classic tour for the entire year. We'll be back on Thursday. I can't get over that finish from you.
You all right?
Is that guy's name Zach?
Yeah.
Fight me.
No. No. No, no, no.
Hit it hard.
Hit it hard. Hit it hard.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.